Today I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
I know your story. I've read it cover to cover. And I know the storms that will come. The waves will swell and the sky will darken. Though you'll fight against the current, you'll be swept away. You'll feel helpless and abandoned, and you'll wonder where I am in the midst of it all. I know this isn't the way you thought our relationship would work, but my plans are not for my comfort or yours. My purposes are always and only an expression of love. The scars in my hands are proof that love will sometimes lead you directly into the storm. Though you can't understand my plans, you can trust in one thing, that I am entirely good. You can't even imagine how good I am, and my plan for you is no different. When you shout asking where I am, know that I am right behind you, with my arms wrapped tightly around you, whispering, I will never let go. For you are the pinnacle of my creation and the center of my affection. There will come a day when I will quiet every storm and wipe away every tear. In that day, there will be no more pain or death. But until that day comes, I will be your anchor in this storm.
Have y'all ever watched a thunderstorm from a distance? One of the best memories that I have as a child was kind of traveling across the United States on vacation with my family, and at one point we stopped at a campground in South Dakota, and we put down the tail to the pickup truck, and we sat there and we watched a thunderstorm some ways away, I have no idea, as it rolled across the hills and these huge towering clouds just kind of strobing and arcing with lightning, kind of striking the ground all around it, and the thunder just sort of rolling across the grass until it came to us, and sort of this dull, sort of muted sound that you knew was just an echo of what was actually happening in those clouds in the distance. And we got to watch it, safe and dry, on the edge of a pickup truck, miles and miles away. Very different than when you're actually caught in a storm. Have y'all ever got caught in a storm that you weren't expecting? Kind of got caught unaware a little bit? My mother and I, we had to take my sister back to college one day. We had to drive from Huntsville to Jacksonville State University. And before we left, we checked to see what the weather was going to do, because we had heard that there was a chance for some severe weather a little bit later on in that afternoon. Wasn't anything going on in Jacksonville, wasn't anything going on in Huntsville, but right across the route up 431 that we're going to be taking, there's supposed to be some thunderstorms and possibility of some severe weather. So my mother was like, well, maybe we shouldn't go right now, maybe we should wait a little while. And I said, I think we can make it. So we got in the car, and the plan was we kind of do as quick as we could to get down to Jacksonville, kind of pull up to the dorm, kick my sister out of the car, throw her bag out after her, and try to get home as fast as we could. And that's pretty much what we tried to do. as we drove down and we kind of went through Gunnersville and Albertville and Boaz and Gadsden and everything, we got to Jacksonville and kicked my sister out of the car, threw her bags after her, said, "See, it was great seeing you," and kind of tore off and kind of spun out on our way back up to Huntsville. And you ever know like the way that the clouds look right before you have a bad storm? Where you kind of start seeing them and you're like, "This is not going to be good. I need to turn James Spann on now. Check out what's going on." Well, we didn't have anything in the car, so we kind of turned the weather radio on, and as we're kind of taking off at back up 431, it's just the clouds kept getting meaner and angrier, and it's like, man, this is not going to be good. We get about halfway home, and we start pulling into to Gunnersville, and there's this big hill that you come down 431 kind of heading into Gunnersville, and y'all, the bottom just fell out. It just started pouring down rain. You know the one where it's like you're afraid your windshield wipers aren't going to be able to keep up with it? And so we turn them on as fast as we could, and we started noticing that all the traffic that we had before kind of started thinning out. There was fewer and fewer cars on the road. And so we kept figuring, we're like, all right, well, as long as it's just rain, we're doing okay. We'll just slow down a little bit. We're going to be fine. Make it through Gunnersville, make it over to Tennessee River, make it over Gunnersville Lake. We start on the other side. And if you've ever been up 431 on the other side of Gunnersville, there ain't much between Gunnersville and Huntsville. There's really not a whole lot going on. And it started just getting dark, like dark, dark. So we turn on the headlights and everything, and the wind starts kind of pushing the car around, and it's that kind of wind where you're like, man, I need to have two hands, kind of, you're kind of gripping it, trying to keep it in the lanes and everything. So we slow down even a little bit more. And I was like, Mom, it is getting bad. I was like, I mean, we were listening to the weather. It didn't say like there was anything in the area just yet. And she was like, well, she was like, just keep going. It's not really bad until it starts to hail. And it's like as if on cue, it starts popcorning off the car, man. It's just pop, pop, pop. I mean, just hitting the hood, hitting the windshield and everything. Windshield wipers getting the hail kind of caught in the little gap. And I mean, it's just hailing. And I was like, well, that can't be good. And she was like, well, it should be fine. We're probably just on the edge of it. She was like, just keep going and we'll kind of get ahead of it and everything. And she was like, you really, really don't start worrying about it till you start to see some debris. And y'all, it's like tree branches start like flowing across the road. I mean, there's leaves. I mean, it's like you think there's like a dog that goes flying by. I mean, it's crazy. Just like everything starts happening. And you know it starts getting weird where it's like you look at each other and you're like, I think we should pray. Like, I think we're at that moment where this is not going to end well. And so it was at that moment, that sort of like that moment of uncertainty, that y'all, we heard the voice of God. And it said, take cover immediately. Take cover immediately. And I was like, did you hear that? And she's like, yeah. And it said, this is the city of Gunnersville emergency alert system. There's a tornado reported in the area. They had vocal tornado alarms. I've never heard that before. And all of a sudden, it's just sort of this desperation of like wherever we can stop. But all that's around us is like water and ditches. Like, that's it. There's really like no place to stop. There's not like a bait shop or anything. There's nothing. And so we just keep going, like just trying to kind of see if there's anything in the distance. And we see this little pinpoint of yellow light just coming up the road. And so, man, we're just like, we're headed for it. I don't even know if the road's still there. I'm just like, I'm headed towards that yellow light. And I see this little gravel driveway and this kind of long sort of metal building. And we turn into the parking lot real quick. And it was like slow motion where it's like you open the doors and everybody's like, make a run for it. And you're like running as fast as you can. There's people like see us coming. They open up the door and they're like, come on. And it's like, there was no chivalry at all, man. I was like, I don't know how my mom made it. I was just like, I was just booking for that door. And these people like just like kind of swept us in the door and just slammed the door shut real quick. And they were sort of like horseshoed around us. And they were all holding candles because the power went out. And I was like, I hope we just didn't run into a cult. It was weird. But it turned out that it was a church. And they were just having their Wednesday night or their Sunday night Bible study at the time. And when the power went out, they went to go find these candles. And somebody just happened to see our headlights out the window kind of turn into their driveway. And man, they sat there and hung out with us. We kind of sheltered down for about a half hour. And sure enough, we had a tornado coming up our tailpipe the entire way up to Huntsville. And as we kind of took off about a half hour later, man, we're driving like around sticks and logs and trees and just leaves and debris as we just kind of see this like small little tornado that kind of came up right through Gunnersville up 431 as we were getting home. And I'll tell you, you cannot outrun some storms. They will get you eventually. See, and that's just a story about a thunderstorm. And we've all got stories about thunderstorms, but the storms that we're more familiar with, the more familiar storms that we can't outrun is the storms that happen sort of in our spirits and our hearts. And we're much more familiar with those. I think every single one of us has a story about those. Those storms that pop up in our lives and they start blowing around, they start tearing things apart, and we have no idea how to cope, only hoping that there is something left of our relationships, of our jobs, or our lives after they blow through. And there's so many stories that each one of us carry with us. Unexpected losses that we have. Friends and family members that have passed on. Sort of the storms that come when you look at how much money you have in your bank account and then you look how much your bills are and you realize that the two are never going to match up. The storms that you come with relationships that begin to stress and break apart and you watch it sort of separating and distancing itself. No matter how much you've tried or no matter how much you want, you see people moving further away. Those are the storms that we truly can't outrun. And there's no James Spann that we can turn on the TV or the radio that's going to tell us how to hide from those storms. But that's exactly what Jesus is talking about when we start jumping into the scripture that we read this morning. The scripture that we read this morning comes in the midst of Jesus' most famous sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7 sort of contain the mass of this Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus is kind of summarizing here at the last part of chapter 7, he's talking about, for the 2.5 other chapters before that, the storms that pop up in our lives. And it's the storms that tear us apart that we experience on a daily basis that we think are so easy because they're so normal, and yet, man, they leave a path of destruction through our lives. He talks about things like anger, talks about things like judgment, talks about revenge. He talks about adultery and lust. He talks about hatred and murder. He gets into those emotions and those storms that swell up, that start eating us alive, and we have no idea how to cope with them. So after this entire sermon, we come to the scripture that was read today, where Jesus says, "If you hear my word and you do it, you will be like the wise man who builds his house on the solid rock, on the foundation. But if you hear my word and you don't do it, how great the fall and the collapse that building will be." And many of us have felt that collapse. We felt it when those walls that we've built up in our lives come crashing down, and we feel like there's nothing we can do about it. Because what Jesus says here at the very end of chapter 7, this seems to be such easy advice, right? This seems to be the exact answer and the roadmap of how to weather and avoid any storm that pops into your lives. If money is taking too much control of your life, give it away. You love your enemies by praying for them. What does it mean to pray and to have faith? And he lays it down so easy, time after time again. And then Jesus says in the last part of chapter 7, now just go and do that. But the ugly truth is, we've been trying to do that. We've been trying to do that each and every day. We've been trying, and our houses keep continuing to fall apart day after day, relationship after relationship, bill after bill, job after job. And we keep wondering, why in the world do these promises keep falling apart? But there's something about the way that we're actually reaching out to what Jesus is offering. Because we do it out of a sense of security or self-preservation or that small bit of hope that we have in the ideas and the cleverness and the strengths that we've built up in ourselves, it's as if we're so secure in the houses and the lives that we've built that when Jesus asks us to step out on faith onto that solid rock that he is, we're so assured that our rock is still so secure, it's like we're holding on to what we still have and just sort of reaching our foot out the best that we can. And Jesus is saying that security you still have in your own ideas and the comfort of the life that you have built, it is simply still just sand underneath your feet. And it might not fall now, but storm after storm, problem after problem, if we cannot take that step into God, that sand will wash out and there will be nothing left under our feet. When he simply says to take two steps planted on something that is solid, and that is so firm, the very rock of God in our lives, that is a dangerous step. But it is the only ground that does not wash away. It is the only ground that does not wear out. The very ground to repair and to rebuild our lives on a solid rock. And why that's scary is it takes some a bit of faith to disassemble what we've built on our own, to admit that our own lives and our own plans did not measure up when the storms came, and to rebuild on something solid. And so what does that look like? What does it look like to build a house with Jesus as your foundation and your rock? It sounds difficult, and I think it sounds difficult because we try to do it all at once. We try to assume that we have everything right. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about why on earth are we here? What on earth are we here for? And this week, we're talking about discipleship. Discipleship is the process of rebuilding our lives on the foundation of Jesus. So how do we weather the storms that pop up in our lives? How do we weather the storms of yelling at our kids too much, of losing faith, of feeling disappointment, of being overcome with depression and anger more so than joy and hope? What does it look like? And Jesus says it in the scripture, to hear and do his word. And when we do something like that, when we love and pray for those who are our enemies, when we reach out and we give generously, when we still don't even have enough to cover everything we have, we take the winds out of the storm and we rebuild on something solid, something that admits that we're not strong enough to form our own foundation, but we know who the one is. And so we disassemble everything we've built in the sand and we start over here on the rock. And we start with a process. We start with prayer. We start with actually turning to the scriptures and reading through things like the Sermon on the Mount and finding what Jesus already told us about the storms that we go through. And we rebuild it, board by board, window by window, a new house on a new foundation. Now, for some of us, that takes a method of looking at our lives, of trying to find what is the one area of the houses that we keep building for ourselves, of our lives, our jobs, and our relationships that keep crumbling and falling apart time after time, day after day, year after year. Where do we keep failing and where do we keep falling when the storms keep coming up? And it takes a process of looking at the sins and the situations in our lives that we still don't address, that crumble and fail when the winds come and the waters rise. Is it anger? Is it judgment? Is it relationships? Is it money? Is it faith? Jesus has something to say about each and every one of these. And so we can't build a house all at once, but we can start with that one area. And when we feel like we've gotten to a point that that's strengthened, that's stronger, we've surrounded ourselves with people who can hold us accountable and help us keep those parts strong, we move on to the next part. And we build it slowly over time with others that are coming around us. Because the truth of the matter is that building ourselves up as a strong house of faith does nothing if it's only built for ourselves. Because the truth of the matter is one day there will be a dumb teenager and his mother who try to outrun a storm that is popping up in their lives. And they will have no other place to turn, but they will see a light in the distance. They will see the light of a faith that begins and starts, if not even today, something that God continues to build on, the homes and the light and the faith that you are building in your own lives. And when they have no other place to turn during a storm, you will have the opportunity to bring them in, to walk along somebody through some of the crises and some of the problems in their lives that they don't think will ever blow over or ever go away, and show them that there is something solid upon which to build. And his name is Jesus. And you will take them in, and they will come to know a life and a grace and a love like nothing else in this world. And we will help build, board by board, home by home, house by house, on the very foundation of Christ, the kingdom of God. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for your Son and your Holy Spirit, but Lord, most of all, for your very word that is brought alive in our lives. That Jesus came to testify and to fulfill, and the Spirit still keeps us alive in our hearts. That you spoke your words from the very first moments of creation, and when the winds and the storms of that first moment where your Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, it was your word that brought order and life out of chaos. That it is your life that brings the wind of life and hope and joy where others see fear and death and the end. Lord, you are the God of the storm. You are the God of resurrection, and you are the God of us. Allow us to build on your foundation that we might be disciples, that we might come along others to help build your kingdom. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.